just lift to the Lord in prayer. Because of your mercy and grace, God, we humbly bow ourselves before you in the spirit of grace, truth, and thanksgiving. We pray now in Jesus' blessed name that you will speak a word of life to your people on this morning. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Close to thee, Lord, close to thee. Amen. Good morning, my family. I would say it's good to see you, but it's good to be in your presence this morning. I can see you with my spiritual eye, and I feel the spirits of each of you that have gathered here this morning for worship. And we've come this morning, as always, to bring a word of life, truth, and love to you, the family of God who assembles at the Lizzie Chapel Baptist Church. This morning we'd like to look at Isaiah chapter 43, verses 2, 3, and 5. And it says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. So, do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and from the west and gather you in my name." And all the people of God said, amen. This morning, we want to speak to you from the subject, walking with God through suffering. Walking through God through suffering. One of the main metaphors that the Bible gives us for facing affliction is walking. The Bible encourages us that when times are difficult and challenging, to just keep walking. David makes mention of this in his most recognized psalm, Psalm number 23. You know it well. It says, "Even though I walk through the valleys of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil, for you, God, are with me." And then in Isaiah chapter 50, verse 10, it says, "Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the word of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness, who has light, trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God." These scriptures and so many more contend that the suffering is something that we must walk through. For walking is the metaphor of suffering, and it points to the idea that even in times of suffering, we must keep moving forward. That has always been the way of God, though there are many who think that it's acceptable to discontinue their walk of faith, to pause and complain about their unfortunate situation, or to give up on their calling and retreat from God's purpose in troubling times. I've come to let you know that it's not. It's not all right to quit. It's not all right to give up, even though things become difficult and trying. For when we give up on God, we give up on ourselves. We do not have God's permission nor God's approval to give up, to quit, to abandon, or walk away from God, no matter how challenging and difficult things may get. Most contemporary Christians see suffering as something we need to avoid or insulate ourselves from, but we are called to walk through darkness. We are called to walk through deep waters or even the fire. We are called as the children of God to never think we can somehow avoid seasons of discomfort or distress, but we are to expect it, to anticipate it, and then faithfully encourage or encounter distressing times without shock or surprise. Peter writes to his struggling church these words. He says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised by the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. We should not deny or sorrow or hide our grief when things are tough. We should not act as if we're strong and put on some fake strength as if we can endure with anything when times are trying and difficult. But we should not surrender our faith or lay our religion down, no matter how difficult or disheartening the trial may be. We are called, my sisters and brothers, to be conquerors who rise victorious above all the challenges of the enemies of our faith. For greater is he that is in us than he who is in the world." Our text says this: "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. When the flames come, they will not set you ablaze." Now, it's interesting that the Bible uses fire as one of the most frightening and painful experiences we know. It is one that causes us much fear, and we do everything we can to avoid being burned. To represent our lesson today, fire represents seasons of trouble and testing. To be burned by fire is one of the most excruciating, painful experiences that we could encounter in this life. We all have a healthy fear of fire, because if you have ever been burned once, you never want to be burned again. So fire in this text represents our worst fears, our lowest moments in life, our harshest experiences, the most dreaded occurrences of our lives. Isaiah doesn't associate our trials by fire with simple discomforts or challenges. He lets us know that fire is the worst thing that could ever happen to us as the children of God. And he uses this metaphor to let us know that the discomforts and the challenges that we go through are the kinds of challenges that cause us great discomfort and challenge us to run away from the powers that tend to control us and bring us harm. He's not using vague and small and insignificant metaphors, because oftentimes we think because we have a few problems or a little trouble that somehow that we are under the worst situation that can be afforded us in life. He's saying to us that God can keep us in any situation. God oftentimes takes us through those moments of difficulty and challenges so that we can prove who he is. But more than that, we can prove our strength and our stamina, because it's only in the time of testing, only in the time of trial, where we discover our true selves and grow in our faith. But so often, my sisters and brothers, we become so overwhelmed with insignificant trouble. But this ain't what Isaiah is talking about. You know those insignificant problems that we think are the worst things that could ever happen to us. Like they say that they keep talking about me, oh Lord. Or Lord, how come I ain't married yet? Or Lord, help me to lose some weight. And we see these as all kinds of trials and tribulations. But that's not fire. Fire represents fears so overwhelming. So overwhelming that even if you had the urge to run as far and as fast as you could from the threat, you could not escape it. It's situations in which we cannot overcome. Fire represents the fast approaching menace who is set on your destruction. Fire denotes that destructive danger that you have no power to control or to escape. It's greater than you, more powerful than you, and it's soon to come upon you, and there is nothing that you can do about it. With the threat of the fiery trials come, the threat of losing your life. When fiery trials come upon you, you are existing in the throes of an unbearable physical or emotional pain for the rest of your life. But God said, when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Listen to what he says here. When you walk through the fire, do you see it? The fire is no longer a threat. It's a reality. You're in the fire. Somehow the circumstances that you dared not dream of has happened to you. Your worst fears, your greatest faults, they all have come upon you, and now you find yourself overwhelmed in the midst of your trouble. You prayed that the fire would not overtake you, but the fire has come. You've done the right things in life. You've been faithful in your walk with God. You've prayed for grace and peace and trusted in what is happening that would never happen to you. But here you are in the conflagration that has suddenly changed your life and stolen your future. There is no promise of exemption from the fire. God does not say if you walk through the fire, but it says when you walk through the fire. All of us, my sisters and brothers, will have our fire experiences, our season so overwhelming that we just don't know what to do. But the miracle here of the promise, my sisters and brothers, is not that he will remove us from the experience of suffering. The promise is this, and this promise contains a great miracle. The promise is that God will not remove the fire, but he will be with us in the fire. Praise his holy name. So here you are in the merciless grip of your worst fears. You are helpless, too helpless to do anything about your situation. And what does God tell us to do? In the fire, he tells us to walk. Walk is a metaphor for a life lived by faith. We find it all throughout the Bible. It says, no good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. And then again he says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on the wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. Here it is. They shall walk and not faint. David says it again in Psalm 23. He says, yea, though I walk through the valleys of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil, for you, God, are with me. In the fiery trials, my sisters and brothers, don't stop walking. Don't stop believing. Don't stop trusting. Don't stop hoping. Don't stop working. Don't stop loving. Continue to walk by faith and not by sight. God is saying to those of you who are facing or experiencing difficult times, as you walked with me before the fire, keep walking with me in the fire, because I want you to know just who I am. I am God all by myself. I am the God of green pastures, and I'm also the God that gives comfort in the fire. I am the God of the calm and the tranquil seas of life, but I'm also the God who can speak peace to your souls in the turbulent storms of life. No, God will not always prevent the pains of traumas of your life from consuming you, but he's also promised that he will always be with us, even in the fire. Praise his holy name. When we walk with God in our seasons of suffering, he's given us a promise, and it's a promise that is absolutely amazing. He says this, when you walk through the fire, here it is, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Ain't that good news? This seems to suggest that though God's people may be in the heat will not be in them. Though God's people will be in difficult times, the difficult times will not be in them. Though God's people are in troubling situations, the troubling situations will not be in them. Are there any seasoned saints out there who, when you look back over your life and take an inventory of all the things that you've been through, that you have messed up your life? You fell, but God picked you up. You cried, but God dried your tears. You mourned, but God changed your mourning into laughter. They conspired against you, but God lifted you above their traps. Ain't God all right? Is there anybody out there who knows that you can be in the fires of life and not get burned? Praise His holy name. There's got to be somebody who knows that life ain't fair, but God is still good. Let me give you a second to praise God and to glorify His holy and His righteous name. Let me give you a good word from the pen of the Apostle Peter. He writes this, and after you have suffered a little while, somebody say a little while, that God, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, confirm, and strengthen you. Now, I'm sure that when Isaiah wrote these words, he had chapter 3 of Daniel in his mind. Some of you are already there. You're waiting on me. I see you. We all know the story, how King Nebuchadnezzar constructed a golden statue and set it up in public place and demanded that whenever his musicians played their instruments, every person was commanded to bow down and worship the statue. If any refused, they would be thrown into the fiery furnace. There were three boys whose Babylonians' names were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They refused to bow to a god because they were faithful servants to the God. They didn't serve any other god because they only believed in one God. His name was Yahweh, creator of the heavens and the earth. The king said to the boys, if you don't worship the golden image, you will be thrown into the fiery furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from your hand, from my hand? And they replied, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning furnace, and He will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image. Listen to what they are saying. They said, God will deliver us, but if not, if they are that confident that God will deliver them, why would they even admit that He might not do it? This seems to be oxymoronic, a contradiction of ideas. Either He will deliver them or He won't deliver them. They are saying this, my sisters and brothers. They are saying He will, but He might not. The boy's profound faith response to the king is something that we all need to understand. They have a total and complete trust in God. He will deliver us. But they also understand that God doesn't have to do what they want Him to do. But if not, He will deliver us. But if not, we trust in God. We know He's able. We know He can do all things. But if not, and we need this kind of profound faith in this contemporary church of today. They understand that they can live and pray as faithful servants of the Most High God. But they know that their faithful praying cannot manipulate the will of God for their personal desires. They know that God was under no obligation to act according to their own agendas. but their love and confidence was in God, the creator of heaven and earth, and not in the God that would work according to their own agenda. Praise his holy name. So often, my sisters and brothers, we want to name it and claim it. And I pray that you are not a part of that crowd, because many people have been deceived and have lost faith because somebody told them that all you need to do is just name it and claim it and it will be done. But God doesn't work like that. He can do it. He has the power to do it. He has the ability to do it. But we cannot manipulate God to do what we want him to do. For our thoughts is not his thoughts. Neither are our ways his ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, are God's ways above our ways. Reverend Alexander, my pastor, would often remind us on Sunday morning when, as young saints with immature faith, we tried to bargain with God and tried to tell God when he needed to bless us. And he would often tell us, God ain't got to do nothing by Friday. Who are we to presume what God should do and when? True and mature faith loves God, period. We love God, period. It's not contingent upon what God does. We just love him. Sincere and authentic faith seeks after God's face and not God's hand. Real deal faith is constant in times of abundance and in times of lack. Genuine faith loves God when he answers our prayers, and also loves God when he doesn't answer our prayer. And I've heard so many people say that I prayed hard. I believed. I named it and I claimed it and I trusted in God for X, Y, Z. But God never gave it to me. God let me down. I hope there's nobody like that listening to me today. But what they are unknowingly admitting is that their faith and their hope in God was not contingent upon their love for God. They just wanted to use God to get what they wanted to get from God out of life. But these three boys trusted God. They knew that God would deliver them. They knew that God could deliver them from death or through death. They didn't care how God did it. They were in the hands of God. God could deliver them from death, or God could deliver them through death. All they wanted to do with their lives was to honor God and to give him glory. The king had them thrown into the fiery furnace, but he sees something strange. He says, did not we throw three men into the fire? But look, I see four walking around in the fire. And the fourth one looks like the Son of God. The king saw three men in the fire. That's a miracle in and of itself. They were walking around. That's another miracle in and of itself. But he noticed a fourth one, and he realized for some reason that they were not burning. And he attributed to the presence of the fourth man. Praise his holy name. I come to tell somebody this morning that when God is on your side, if God is with you in your distressful moments, you can get through anything. You don't have to have a perfect situation for God to bless you. God can bless you when the storms are raging. God can bless you when the enemies are all around you. God can bless you when there's no other way to go. The old folks said he can make a way out of no way. He can open doors that have been closed in your face. Our God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above everything we ask or think, according to the faith that works in us. Ain't God all right? So when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not quench, and they will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. I am your Savior. Praise his holy name. So in the furnaces of our life, my sisters and brothers, God has promised to be with us. And I come to tell you that God keeps his promise. Praise his holy name. If you just call on the name of Jesus, the Bible says that demons fear at the sound of that name. For when your enemy, Satan, is all around you, and he uses men and women of all stripes to pull you down, to upset your equilibrium in life, when he uses people to upset you and cause you fret and fear, when you call on the name of Jesus, yeah, demons bow down and tremble because they see a Savior who defeated life and defeated death. They see the Savior that was born one evening and it died on Calvary's cruel and rugged cross. He died for the sins of the world. He died that you and I might have life. He died, and when he died, he went down into the depths of the grave and set the captives free. And then he rose with all power in heaven and earth in his hands. And you're all right. Just call on the name of Jesus. Yeah, he is the fourth man. He is the one that quenches the fire. Yeah. Some people say that God took, yeah, the sting out of the fire. They say God took the burn out of the fire. But no, no, no. God didn't take the burn out of the fire. No. He took the death out of the fire. Yeah. There was no sting in the fire, because when Jesus died and rose again, the Bible says he took the sting out of death. Yeah, yeah, yeah. God is with you. He is able. Lift up your heads, all ye gates, and be lifted up, the everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Yeah, he's with us. Stand with him. He'll keep us. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And you're all right. And you're all right. Yeah, 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 ah, yeah. When you go through the fire, when you go through the flood, I don't know what your fire experience is. I don't know the trials and the challenges that you are going through at this very present. I don't know the fears and the anxieties that overwhelm your soul with fret and with fear. But I do know this, that with God, we can go through anything. Praise his holy name. Be encouraged, my sisters. Be encouraged,
my brother, for God is able to keep.